Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, and welcome back to That Is Good to Know with your host, Jeff Stanislow. Visit our website, thatisgoodtoknow.com. We're dropping so much knowledge on Tampa. We're going to be the smartest place in the universe. And we got one wonderful guest here with today. He's going to drop some excellent knowledge on us about running a team and being a mentor. We have Coach Link from UT Basketball on right with us right now. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today here on the show. I'll probably start with a little bit let's talk about the team. You guys are, you know, kind of midway through the season, and how are things going for you?
Well, I mean, anytime you're taking over and trying to build a program, you got your ups and downs. And right now, we've been a little up and down. We're sitting at 4-5. We've had some real good wins, and we've had some real bad losses. But the biggest thing is we're trying to lay the foundation of how we want to play, how we want to do things, and our guys are doing a good job of trying to understand it. It's just something new. The way we play is a little bit different. We play very up-tempo, try to play very fast. We're not playing anywhere near as fast or as up-tempo as I would want to play. We got to get the guys used to playing that way. But it's building it, brick by brick and getting them to understand how we want to do. But I think we play pretty exciting. So if people have nothing to do this weekend, we've got two games here at home on Saturday and Sunday at 2:00 on Saturday and 4:00 on Sunday. And I think if they came and watched us play, they would like it because of how we play and how up and down it is. We just got to get a little bit better at it.
Well, I completely understand. I actually got a chance to sit in on one of your practices a couple of weeks back, and I could see where the development is coming from and wanting to get up and down that court a lot faster. And pick up the pace of the game. Being a Michigan State Spartan fan myself, that was one of the things that I think that made them very successful is their ability to move up and down the court. There's teams that strategize and slow things down. There's teams that like to move and put press on. And it seems to be like you're one of those movers and shakers. Hey, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I've always, ever since I became a head coach a long, long time ago when I took over programming in Rensselaer, Indiana, St. Joseph's College. That's the way I've always played. I worked for a guy in Ashland by the name of Roger Lyons that had coached in the CBA back in the early 90s and kind of developed a fast break system. And I worked for him, and I really enjoyed coaching it when I worked for him. And then when I became a head coach, I kind of had some ideas and I threw him off his chest, and he would always tell me no, but that was okay. I kept him in the back of my head when I became a head coach to say, okay, if I become a head coach, this is how I would change things. And I've always played this way. I've always played very fast. I've always played very up-tempo. And back when I used to play this way, most teams didn't play very fast. Everybody played really slow. And actually, when I came to the Sunshine State Conference, 15 years ago or 15 years ago at Florida Southern, and I spent 9 years there, this was probably the best defensive league in the country. Everybody kept the games in the 50s and 60s, and now we're probably the top offensive league in the country. So everybody's playing fast. So the style really isn't different. Everybody's used to playing fast. Before, it was kind of an advantage. You would go in and play teams that are used to playing very, very slow, and you get them playing faster than they want. But now everybody in our league scores 90 points a game, so it's become probably the best offensive league in Division II in the country. But it's just the way I've always known to play. I like playing it. You get to play a lot of guys. We'll play 9, 10, 11 guys right now and give everybody an opportunity to play and show what they can do. And then as you get into January and February, we'll probably start cutting our rotation down to 8 or 9 guys.
And you got to have fresh bodies off the bench. We're listening to Coach Link Darner, the head coach of University of Tampa basketball team. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host on thatisgoodtoknow.com. I want to go off court for a little bit, and we'll come back to on court, Coach. Just talking about being a head coach and working with these young student athletes and, you know, understanding, you know, what they're trying to do. Talk to us about your mentality as a man, you know, working with young men and some of the things that you try to instill upon them.
Well, I mean, I think the big thing is we try to teach them life lessons and get them ready for the real world. You know, I mean, I would hope, you know, in a few years when people come in and ask our players, I know when I've been a head coach for a while and people go in and ask guys, you know, when they come on visits, they always ask, you know, what's going to get coach upset? What doesn't he like? And, you know, my players that I've had for a while will always tell guys, you know, his biggest thing is being on time. I'm a stickler for that. I've sat kids. I'm not a big stickler in running kids. I'm more of stickler is sitting kids. I know coaches have run kids in the past, and I think if you take playing time away from a kid, it teaches them more. And so I've been more of a stickler that way, and I've sat some kids in some very, very big games for not being on time, because when you get out in the real world and you get in the business world or guys want to go play overseas and that, and you don't show up on time for work, you know, if you're a business and you have a presentation to do for a company to try to get them to invest money or do whatever, and you show up late for that meeting, you're probably going to lose that clientele. So trying to teach them the importance of being on time, being prepared. You know, when we start practice, you should be ready to go. I'm big on going to class. Education is big. You know, our guys all want to play professionally, and we all hope they get a chance to go play professionally. But how long are you going to be able to play professionally for? You're going to be able to play for, what, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe? You know, that's normally what the average person plays for. Well, okay, you're 25 years old. You got the rest of your life. If you don't have a degree, how are you going to get a job? How are you going to support a family? So education is big for us. And then our work ethic. I think us coaches here, we work extremely hard. We're in the office. We're in the gym with our players, trying to get them better. We want our players to work extremely hard. And I would say that's kind of how I mentor kids and trying to get them ready for what's out there in the real world. I don't deal with parents much. In fact, I deal with the kid, you know, as I always say to the kids, a lot of you are 21, 22, 23 years old. I'm going to deal with you. I'm not going to deal with mom and dad. I'm going to deal with you because in a year you got to go get a job. Your boss at your job is not calling your mom and dad to tell them that you showed up late.
Yeah,
or not calling to say you didn't get your project done. We're going to have to let you go. They're not going to do that. So trying to prepare them to get ready for the real world is what we try to do here.
Yes, this is Jeff Stanislow. You're listening to That Is Good to Know, and we're on with Coach Link Darner from the University of Tampa basketball team. So, you know, Coach, building these student athletes up is very important. And I think, you know, just being able to graduate with a degree and having that discipline of being a student athlete, I mean, I think the NCAA had, an ad campaign just talking about hiring student athletes. I think that discipline and structure, you know, bodes very well in the business world if, you know, the pros don't call their name. And what you're doing there, it seems like a fantastic strategy in helping these people. Shifting gears a little bit to, you know, today's more modern younger athlete, they have some different things to contend with like things like the NIL coming out. What type of impact has that made for your players and their mindset?
Well, I mean, right now it hasn't been a big impact in Division II. I think it will become one here eventually. But you know, as I tell kids, you know, that are looking to market themselves, there's not a better place than Tampa. You have every business opportunity. There's more businesses, companies down here. You know, what are you doing to get out to market yourself? We can try to put them in front of people, have people come in and speak to them. But, you know, also your chance to get out and market yourself and you know, try to build your brand. Because that's a big thing this day and age. Times have changed and kids are, you know, it's different for me. Social media is a big thing. You know, bringing our guys want to see them, you know, their highlights posted on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, you know, and changing because that's something I'm not used to doing, you know, and making sure we're doing a good job marketing them that way. But it's a big change. It's something, you know, at the high major, it's becoming, you know, at Michigan State, it's becoming even bigger and bigger. And I think we're going to see some radical changes here in the next year or two in college athletics.
Yeah, I agree, Coach, and you and I talked a little bit offline about it, and just like structuring. I hope that the you know, the leagues and the powers to be kind of come up with some structures to help these kids, you know, manage these NIL contracts. I think, you know, there was some conversations about splitting up the money amongst all student athletes that are being generated from NIL. And I think we have a lot of ground to cover. And it's going to be an interesting, you know, 3 to 5 years next year, especially as some of these numbers, like I was reading about, you know, Deion Sanders' son, Shakir Sanders, like potentially earnings of upwards of $8-9 million in NIL contracts, and that's some serious money.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they would have had that back when I played. Back in the early '90s at Purdue when I played with Glenn Robinson, and that the money that some of us could have generated back then would have been off the charts. But you're right; it's going to be a big change. And what I just hope it doesn't do is I just hope that it doesn't, you know, eliminate sports and things like that and championships for some sports, because when there's going to be a big change and all of a sudden you start talking about taking revenue money and I think the players deserve money, but I just hope it doesn't hurt other sports and other student athletes, and their sports aren't going to be cut because of generating money for just a couple sports.
Yeah, 100%. We're talking with Coach Link Dartner from University of Tampa, and this is Jeff Stanislow. You're listening to That Is Good to Know. Just talking about on and off the court and you know, situations, and I think you look at, we got you know, the football championships coming up, and some of the players now all of a sudden you talk NIL, and all of a sudden some of the players says, well, hey, listen, I'm not going to play because of the draft. So, but now with the NIL, that they might change their mind on that. They might want to play in that big game because it could lead to a different contract for them for next year if they decide to sit out a draft.
Yeah, it could, and I think there'll come a time where you know, they're talking about maybe making, you know, people employees, and maybe bonuses if you play in the bowl game. You know, I mean, that's as you start going down the contract, and if they become contracts, it might be if you get to the, you know, the NCAA tournament, you get X amount of dollars each student athlete. You get to the Final Four, you know, and you get more money. You get to the national championship game in football. That will keep guys wanting to play, or if you play in the bowl game. You know, I know we got Wisconsin and LSU, and it might be put in a contract whoever plays in the bowl game gets an extra, you know, $10,000-$15,000. That'll keep guys probably playing. I saw where the backup quarterback at Texas just announced he's transferring. He's not going to be in the BCS championship games. He's going to miss out on an opportunity to maybe win a national championship.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, like, we didn't even touch on the transfer portal. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I was reading about, like, okay, there's some great things about it. You know, if a team's stacked and you're a quarterback and you're a freshman or sophomore and they got some guys ahead of you and you got a different opportunity there. But one of the things I read about, Tom Izzo talked about, is just, like, sometimes it's just, like, it's too tough, so I'm just going to try it at another school. I'm not gonna work it out and try to earn my spot. I'm just gonna go someplace else. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal?
Well, I mean, I think it's just it's a change again, and people got to get used to the change. But, you know, I think kids should be allowed to transfer one time without any penalty. And then then if you go to a school, and let's say you go play at a school, and your coach leaves or your coach gets fired, I think you should have a right to leave then again, because one, the coach that's coming in may not want you. The style that you play may not suit the style that he's bringing in, and just because I transferred before, but guys just transferring, you know, just to transfer, you know, after one time, there should be you should have to sit out a year. And I, you know, just yesterday there's an injunction right now where kids are going to be allowed to play that were two-time transfers, and that could change everything. Because if all of a sudden they win in the court, then everybody's going to be able to transfer as many times as you want, which, you know, it's going to go back to all of a sudden if they become employees and they become contract, you know, have a contract with the university, will there be a buyout in their transfer?
Yeah.
You know, like coaches have a buyout. If a coach at you know, Florida leaves for another job, he's going to have to pay a buyout. You know, our kids ain't going to have to pay a buyout. If I go to Florida and then I want to transfer to Florida State, will there be a buyout if I have a contract with Florida?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of things that could change here in the next couple of years, and I don't know if everybody knows the impact that it's going to have on everything and all the sports.
Yeah. Coach Link Darner, University of Tampa head basketball coach, here on That Is Good to Know, dropping some great knowledge, talking about NIL, talking about the transfer portals, and we're going to go back on the court. But I have one more follow-up question in regards to that. As a coach, what do you got to do? Brush up on your law books and, you know, go to law school, you know, to coach a basketball team now with all these things that are going on?
You need a little bit of that. That's why we have compliance directors and everything at the school, and we go bug them a bunch and ask them a bunch of questions. They probably get tired of seeing us come down the hallway or shooting them an email, because it keeps them awful busy with all the changes and all the rules that we have to follow to make sure we don't we don't break any of them.
Yeah, and it seems like you're going to have, like, you know, kids might have agents and then talking to the university, and it's like this stuff is changing so fast with these innovations, and they're trying to figure it all out. But I could see as a head coach, you know, really it's like, you know, almost kind of moving to the professional level, you know, capabilities for you in college faster than we think.
Oh, I think it's becoming some of that. I mean, if you look, so some of these quarterbacks are saying they're going to stay in college instead of going to the pros because they can make more money right now, you know. And, you know, because in the NFL, you know, if you're where you're picked at is by what you get paid. Well, if I'm, you know, Sanders and I'm making $9 million a year next year, that's more you're going to make in the NFL. So, and I think you could see that in, you know, basketball guys. You know, like a guy like Zach Edey might make more in college than he does going and playing professionally.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great opportunity, Coach. Probably have to have you back on a dedicated show just to talk about the business aspects of sports and, you know, college basketball. We're listening to Coach Link Darner for the University of Tampa men's basketball head coach. We appreciate you spending some time. Now, let's get back on the court. And you guys are going into the second half of your season here. You got a little bit of break. Tell me what's your game plan, and what do you want to see the team do as we kind of, you know, look towards the end of the season?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is, I mean, and a lot of people will say it's an excuse or that, but we got to get healthy. We just counted up. We've had 17 guys that haven't played in a game this year from an injury. So, and sometimes it's, you know, a guy misses four, but we've had 17 people miss a game. I think our last five or six games we've had two guys out in each game. I think if we can get healthy, and it's nothing like a major injury. It's just a lot of he's out 2 weeks, he's out 10 days, he's out, you know, 10 days. Is we've had one guy that's going to be out for a significant period of time here, but is getting healthy and see us improving on what I think we can become good at, you know, getting guys to understand the system and how we want to play and see improvement. You know, anytime you take over a program, you know you're going to have ups and downs. Is now we want to start seeing, you know, hopefully a little bit of a climb. You know, guys starting to understand what we want to do, how we want to do things, and then being competitive. You know, not going in and getting beat by 20. Being in games and having chances to win games at the end of the game and getting guys to understand the dedication you have to put in. You know, you can't be, I call them clock punchers. You can't be a clock puncher. You can't show up at 8:30 for practice and practice over at 10:30 and you're checking out. Is you got to get there before practice, get shots up. You got to stay after practice. You got to come in. You got to dedicate yourself to be the best that you possibly can. And then getting them, you know, my thing is I dream big. I've always been that, is getting them to believe that we can win and we can win at a high level here. You know, I didn't even realize it until, and I was in the league for 9 years. I'm actually my second year in the league, we played the conference Final Four here at the University of Tampa. We beat them on a shot at the buzzer. I swear I thought they won the league that year because that's why we were playing here. And when I the job opened and I started going back and doing research, I didn't realize it's been 20-some years since the University of Tampa has won the Sunshine State Conference. And getting guys to believe that we can win and compete at a high level. A lot of coaches I don't ever talk about winning a league, competing for a championship. We do that. We talk about that with our guys. That's our goal here. Our goal is to do what the baseball team has done, do what the volleyball team, the men's golf team, the soccer team. They've won national championships. That's our goal in basketball. We want to try to compete at the highest level and try to win at the highest level. And we got to see improvement. You know, we got to see improvement from our guys. And hopefully second half of the conference season, we will see that.
Well, we wish you tons of luck in getting some of the guys healthy and executing on your plan. So you, Coach Link Darner, UT men's basketball coach, we're talking a little bit. You had a great run at Purdue. I mean, I actually, you know, I'm a Michigan State fan, so I recognize your name when you came on board and what have you. And I've had the pleasure of meeting with you and having some lunch and some great times. Tell us what it was to, like, you know, be in the Sweet 16 or, you know, go to the NCAA tournament and just share, you know, some of those thoughts with you, you know, even though they're memories now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, during that time of the, you know, early 90s, the Big Ten was as good as anybody is, just like it is now. But, you know, just having the opportunity to play at that level and go against some of the, you know, we had the Fab Five came, you know, was in during my time, and, you know, Michigan State was a power, Indiana was, you know, going to the Final Fours, Ohio State, you know, just to compete at that level against those teams, and then just, you know, the guys I had a chance to play with. I played with Matt Painter, who's head coach at Purdue. I played with Konzo Martin, you know, Glenn Robinson, and, you know, and people don't realize, you know, guys average 22, 23 points a game now, and back then Glenn averaged 31 and 13 his senior year.
Wow.
And, you know, we had a chance to get to the Elite Eight, and I still to this day say if we would have beaten Duke, we would have won it all. You know, you got to get the ball to bounce the right way, and the ball didn't bounce the right way for us that day. But, the game prior to that, we played Kansas, and Glenn had 44 points. He had 30 in the first half, and I think Konzo Martin had 27 in the second half. And we beat a Kansas team, and we then got beat by Duke. But, you know, I still say if we would have beat Duke that game, I think we would have won a national championship. And, you know, it's a shame because that's, you know, Coach Katie was a great coach to play for. You know, if he walked in my office today and told me to get up and go run sprints, I'd get up and go run sprints. I wouldn't ask why, because that's what you just did.
Yeah.
You know, he demanded excellence out of you, and that's what we try to do with our guys. But, you know, it's a shame that we could never get him to the Final Four, because he got his due justice finally this year, getting into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. But he should have been in years and years ago. But, you know,
fantastic.
I just, you know, I still, you look back on that and you think if we could have just won that game. And I've had a couple teams at the college level that I felt if we could have got out of our regional, We had won national championships. I was fortunate enough to win one at, you know, with my team at Florida Southern. But I've had other teams that I was like, if we'd have just won the regional and got to the final in Division II, it's the Elite Eight. If we'd have got to the Elite Eight, I think we would have won it all. And
wonderful.
You know, people don't like to hear it, but the ball's got to bounce the right way.
Well,
you know, to win at the tournament time.
Coach, I wish you all the best. I hope you can bring that glory and those, excitement that you just had there talking about reminiscing about your days. Hopefully you can bring that here to Tampa with University of Tampa. You guys go check out, the men's basketball program, Google University of Tampa, click on men's sport, check out their great schedule. That's it for today, Coach. Thanks for being with us. This is Jeff Stanislow from That Is Good to Know, signing off. Take care, Tampa.